All right.
We'll go informal for a little bit. We are
live right now.
We're live.
Yes, we are. But we're still getting everything set up, so.
Baby Luca is live.
He is, man.
In studio.
Can we hear him?
Yeah.
All right.
He makes appearances on. He's actually the most commonly.
Just needs to be a toilet flushing sound.
The most commonly broadcast person, like amongst all of us.
Wow.
Because he's on. He showed up on Comics
on
Online
shows.
Pirate Radio. He showed up on Comics Online podcast. He's shown up on now on Endless Sandwich. He's also shown up on Shock Monkeys with him and Scott. So,
man.
Yeah.
Baby Luca. He gets around, man. He's a busy dude.
So we got EK doing some technical work over here.
Yeah, so just bear with us, folks. We are starting. I mean, you can hear us because, you know, we're on the radio now.
Oh, you're live?
Yeah, we're live.
Yeah, we're live.
Because it's 7:30. I wouldn't want to be a liar. I don't want to tell people that I'm going to be here and do something and then not actually do it. So I'm sharing it on the Twitters right now, on the tweeters.
Tweeters?
Yes. Hashtag foodie. Hashtag podcast.
You know, I really should have eaten something before I came to this. I'm going to be really hungry after this.
Especially because we're going to be talking about nothing but food.
Yeah.
So, hashtag foodie, hashtag podcast, hashtag listen, mother. listen to this. There we go.
We got dill pickle cashews. These are classy ones from CVS. Gold emblem. Gold is right in the name. Yeah.
We actually, I think we should create a Twitter for Endless Sandwich.
Separately? Yeah. I mean,
do we really need to, though? Like,
well, we probably don't, but there might be people who are like, fuck comics, I hate comics, but food, I'm into. So it might
comics,
not be a
no,
bad idea.
But food, oh yeah.
But do we really want to attract those people?
Probably not.
That's the kind of negativity we don't need in our lives.
Probably not.
Oh, man, I can make the most amazing food you've ever had in your life. But comic books are lame. They're for children. You know what? Get the fuck out.
Get the fuck out.
You know what? I don't want this. Forget it.
I promoted on my Instagram earlier.
I did. I saw that. That was awesome.
And only a few people liked that one, sadly. No, lately, I've been getting some serious likes, but that one only got a few.
Well, they haven't heard the show yet.
That's true. They're reserving their likingness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is
tough crowd.
This is our first episode of 2017. I mean, it's not saying much. We only have one episode in 2016, so I mean,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
So far, we've hit our yearly quota.
We are on pace right now, guys. We are on pace.
By the way, listeners,
we're gonna shatter records.
For those of you who are fans of food, you're in the right place for one thing. And beyond that, I have a few years ago, some friends of mine were flipping out on me about, oh, you post too many food photos on Facebook.
Tell
and
them
then
to shut the fuck up.
And you know, instead of telling them to shut the fuck up,
I ain't got time for that kind of negativity.
my friend Giovanni told me, hey, you know what you should do? You should just go and create a food Instagram and just put it all there and then just occasionally share it to Facebook. So I created Foodgasms, FOODGAZMS. The Z comes before the S. This is how to remember it. And I've got a bajillion posts, or 631 as of today.
And it's all pictures of food,
it's
right?
All yeah. Pictures of food. Occasionally, there are pictures of just cocktails instead. So if you hate cocktails and are food only, then you might be occasionally disappointed. But yeah, Foodgasms on Instagram is mine, and we will be linking back and forth between Endless Sandwich and Foodgasms.
I think that goes back to, though, I mean, like, yeah, drinks, cocktails kind of have to go with food in some way, shape, or form.
I agree.
Like, you can't really...
Beers.
I mean, unless you're drunk, but like,
right,
you gotta have some food to go with it.
Like, we just went to Heroic Aleworks. And I did.
I haven't gotten to go there yet.
I remember hearing about that on actually, I think it was the last Endless Sandwich they were talking about.
Yeah, we talked about them. We
it's
plugged
good.
Them, and they still haven't come on our show.
Hey, get on,
Kate and Tim.
I'm what's your come problem? There.
Just because you're opening your own brewery and you're busy, you can't come on our podcast. Psh.
We need to go there.
Get really drunk and harass them until they come on. I mean, that's
I'm just kidding. By the way, they're awesome.
The manager and one of the co-owners came on the video show that I do with Troy David every week, and that has not posted yet, but that'll post soon. And so I've got them, but not Kate and Tim. So we're going to have Kate and Tim on really soon.
So the question is, guys, for the opening, do we want the short one? Or do we want the long one?
Ladies.
Oh, that's right. We have a new... We have a new contributor. We haven't even introduced her yet.
No, you know, I was getting ready to.
How about we do the opening?
The right time.
Because this is all just mindless chit-chat.
Right, right.
We'll do the opening, and then we'll introduce everybody.
Do it.
Sound good?
Do it.
The Endless Sandwich podcast starts... Wait. Not yet. This is the appetizer, by the way.
Oh, nice.
Okay, thanks.
Big tall.
Okay. I'm going to turn off the Foo Fighters for a second, so I can build
the episode two, Hamcat.
Hamcat. Episode 2, Hamcat.
Welcome to Endless Sandwich, everyone.
Here goes.
Firm, but with a little give. Yep, these are medium rare.
What if somebody wants theirs well done?
We ask them politely yet firmly to leave.
For everything geek pop culture, this is Comics Online, baby.
Endless Sandwich.
Ask me about my wiener!
He likes it! He likes it!
Endless Sandwich.
Is your age cross? I ate too!
Wise men say forgiveness is divine, but never pay full price for late pizza.
Endless Sandwich.
I'm full. Yet I know if I stop eating this, I'll regret it.
This is so f***ing good!
I'll have what she's having.
The Endless Sandwich.
Time to make the chimichangas.
The Endless Sandwich.
Hey.
The Endless Sandwich.
They literally made me stop eating foods that were shaped like dicks. No hot dogs, no popsicles. You know how many foods are shaped like dicks? The best kinds.
Arch, we're missing the chili. Let's archy more marchy.
Chicken. Gave me a bad coupon.
The Endless Sandwich.
Hello, all you internet radio listeners. My name is Mike Lunsford, and this is the Endless Sandwich podcast hosted by Comics Online. What is Comics Online, you might ask? That's their everything geek pop culture. In fact, we have their editor-in-chief here tonight. He's actually going to be co-hosting with me. We're going to be tag-teaming back and forth.
Yeah, we are.
His name is Kevin Goswan.
Hello again, and welcome back to the Endless Sandwich. It's been a little while, but we're back again.
But more importantly, we have some food experts, because... Who really wants to listen to me and Kevin just talk about food?
Because most people, but it's even better when we have experts. Frankly,
when we have legitimacy, we're all over the place. We're just winning people over, winning the hearts and minds, as they like to say. We've got you're going to have to give me your background again, because I know that you're professionally trained, but I don't know all of the details. But please, Mr. Eric Meyer is our professionally trained chef. Tell us a little bit about your culinary background, Mr. Meyer.
I attended a Le Cordon Bleu certified school. I'm classically French trained.
He has many leather-bound books.
I have many leather-bound books. My apartment smells of rich mahogany. I worked in a number of restaurants. I worked for the Pittsburgh Pirates. I've worked everything from like the privately owned French diner in San Diego to corporate Bonefish, Outback, those type of restaurants. I mean, I've seen every type of kitchen there is.
But you've also been a butcher.
I've also been a butcher.
You've been a baker. You've been a candlestick maker. Sorry.
Blacksmith.
But more importantly, we have a special guest. She was not on our last episode. Well, she was... Because she was...
She has been a vast contributor through the Mixlr chat.
Yeah, she was blowing up the chat. Like, yes. But not just like with like troll type stuff where it was like, like, who? What is this person talking? No, she was like dropping like knowledge that you wouldn't even see. She was just like, well, what about this?
She was legitimizing everything that I was saying.
Yeah,
because
she was...
I would just say things with no actual background or legitimacy to them, and she would come with facts.
We are lucky enough.
She brought the hard facts.
She did have the hard facts. We have those hard facts in studio today. We are lucky enough to have her. We have Miss Jenna Lee Shank with us.
Hey there.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Right.
So this is our squad. This is our endless sandwich squad.
Yeah. This is it. And of course, we have Mr. EK the DJ providing, you know, the studio here.
Hosting.
So thanks,
yeah.
Eric.
Yeah.
Welcome.
We would be the MC of the show. He would be the MC of our hearts.
Aww.
Picture me as like the Mr. Roper of podcasts.
We're trying to pretend, one of us has to pretend that we're gay so that we can stay, because otherwise you'd kick us out. Like, oh, wait, was that Furley or Roper?
Probably
that was Furley, wasn't it?
That like, I meant to say Furley.
Okay. You're Don Knotts is what you're saying.
Yes.
Okay. So let's kick things off, guys. We posted on the Facebooks and on the Twitters today. I asked a couple people because I wanted to talk about this. I mean, 2017 is still new to most of us, unless you are time travelers, but that's a whole nother show. We're, what, 3 weeks in now?
Yep.
I think all of us have, because we just love food. I mean, there are some people, I want to go off on this tangent for just a second. I was reading this blog about this guy who doesn't want to eat anymore. He doesn't want to eat. And what he does is, he has basically found a way to make protein shakes so that he does not need to consume food. Like, he's combined all of these things, and he just has these shakes. Eats no food. Why?
Where's the joy in life?
No, and, like, it's... apparently, he's weird, or... I don't know. Like, he's a robot?
I don't trust him.
No, I don't trust him either. Yeah, you can't trust him.
He should be put away. I'm sorry.
I'm just going to go. I don't really like chewing. I just like sucking and swallowing. Is that what I'm hearing you say? Pretty sure that guy sucks.
Oh, Kevin will be here all week, folks. Why would you need teeth then? Would his teeth just rot out of his face? Like, because he wouldn't need them anymore.
Yeah.
Except for to smile awkwardly at people and smugly as he's like, oh, I don't eat anymore. But anyways, we're not one of those guys. We like to eat. We enjoy food. Food is delicious.
Yeah.
What is the best thing so far in 2017 that you've had? The best meal, the best food, the best course, whatever it is. I asked our fans on the Facebooks, and I got some really, really good answers. But we'll start with us.
I think we should start with our new guest.
I think we should. Ladies first, of course.
Yes.
So
always. We are gentlemen, if nothing else, here at the Endless Sandwich.
Yes.
You.
Very
Thank
true.
You.
Very true. Jenna Lee, what is the best thing that you've had?
This was a really hard decision for me. We eat really well.
There's nothing wrong with that.
But I'm going to go with last week during the Steelers game, we made some pulled pork that was...
Go Steelers.
Probably the best thing we had this year.
Yeah.
Had a nice Carolina-style vinegar base.
Oh, you sold me right there. Like, yeah. That's my go-to barbecue of choice is the Carolina-style. Yeah.
Yeah, we had sandwiches, quesadillas, rice bowls.
And it was a little bit different because typically we would smoke our pulled pork, but it was kind of like a wintry mix outside. And
yeah.
I was like, I'm not standing outside in this for 12 hours to smoke this pork butt. Plus there was a Steelers game coming on. So we decided to do it in the crock pot.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
I've done a few times, but typically I smoke it. But she put, what did you put?
I did a sort of a barbecue blend, like a dry rub on it, mm-hmm. and a little bit of the Old Town spice that we love so much. And
which is my recipe.
Which is, yeah, I was going to say that's your mix, yeah.
And then there's just like a vinegar mixture. That
apple cider vinegar.
Yeah, apple cider vinegar, Worcestershire, a little water.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. We have a sound effect for that. That would be this one right here. for the food boner that we just all caused everyone listening to the podcast. Yeah, and I can attest to this too. Your ability with meats in general, particularly the smoked variety.
Yes.
Because I was over at your place for Gus's bachelor thing or whatever the hell that was.
Yeah.
And like I just basically like parked myself right there in front of those ribs.
At the plate of ribs.
Well,
yeah.
It was me and me and your dog Havoc were just like, because Havoc was like, Havoc like looked at me and was like, this guy is going to be eating, so I'm just going to hang out with him.
Yeah.
And he would just
he
look
knows.
At me and he was like, you're going to give me some of that, right? And I was like, of course, yeah.
If anybody loves to eat, it's Havoc.
Yeah.
He knows.
Yeah, absolutely.
I raised him right.
So yeah, okay. So pulled pork for the Steelers game. All right, so that's a good start. Are you sticking with that as well as like your number one seed for 2017, Eric? Or
no, I was gonna go with since she chose that. I was gonna choose. She makes this fantastic dish. It's homemade spaghetti sauce, spaghetti noodles, and we braise beef shanks.
Oh my
so
god!
Like the whole shank, sliced. It's a local beef. And Jenna, if you want to go ahead and give them the rundown on the benefits of local beef, real quick, which you can get down at your Old Town Butcher here in Fredericksburg.
Well, not true of all local beef, but if you lot of them are going to be a grass-fed.
Sorry, not local.
Of the grass-fed variety. I mean, aside from the point that grass-fed is just better for the cow in general, it's also better for you. The omega-3, omega-6 fatty acid composition, the ratio is the same as wild-caught salmon. So really, if you're worried about your cholesterol or anything like that, the local beef is actually a really good way to go.
So the stigma that comes with beef a lot is because it's corn-fed, because
it's that cholesterol-filled, yellow, sticky, gross.
And right now... Right now, you're speaking from what you've studied, from your personal experience.
Yeah, let's do that a little
tell
bit
too.
Tell
me how you feel. Tell me how you feel after the difference between eating a corn-fed ribeye and a grass-fed ribeye.
I personally feel a lot better. I mean, I'm grounding that in a very, you know, quick base in nutrition. I studied food and agriculture in my grad school, so.
Okay, so this is not just like I read some stuff on BuzzFeed and now I'm an expert. Like,
I actually took certified nutrition classes.
Okay.
As well, so.
So if you guys think that we're just a bunch of yokels just spouting off at the mouth about food, no, we actually have experts here that were educated in this sort of thing. One guy cooked for George W. Bush.
And Franco Harris.
And Franco Harris. Well, that's more important. Yeah, exactly. And the pirates, too.
Steve Monick, that one's for you. But. By the way, I still think he's getting those last few Baconators out there.
That's why he couldn't be here tonight. Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
One of these times.
He's a busy guy, man. He's a busy guy. We were talking about Star Wars last night, and he was like, guys, I can't do this anymore. I have more Baconators. I'm committed to our fans. Kevin, what is the number one seed?
You know, this is disappointing, honestly. For the past 3 weeks here of the beginning of 2017, I've mostly been stuck at home working on a big project for work. Like, I haven't even been into work. I've been just kind of huddled in at home, and so I've been just eating a lot of cheese from Wegmans, honestly. Wide variety of cheese, but really, I've been eating a lot of cheese. As far as things of quality that I've eaten, the one thing that I particularly liked, I went down to Charlottesville, Virginia. And I had a there's a bagel place, and apparently this is like, oh, if you went to UVA, you know fucking Bodo's.
Yeah.
And and I had some delicious bagels at this place, bagel sandwiches and just plain bagels. And then I also had I've tried to have lobster bisque at fancy ass fucking places over my lifetime, and cheesy places as well, let's face it, but just a bagel place had the best lobster bisque that I have ever had to date.
Wow.
Shocking.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, I thought, it's a cold day, I'll have a nice tomato / seafood soup, that'll be nice, right? It was amazing. I should have got more than one.
Well, and that actually is a perfect tie-in, too, because a common contributor on our Comics Online Pirate Radio Shenanigans, Miss J. Dilla, I asked her what her favorite food was that she had this year. She had a she-crab soup. So the soup of the crustacean variety ties together well with your lobster bisque.
What's a she-crab soup?
So a she-crab soup is more of the... if you're, like, regionally breaking them down, right? This area, my personal favorite, is the Maryland crab soup, which is your blue crab. It is vegetable-based. So it's essentially vegetable soup with crab in it as well. A little bit spicy because you got the Old Bay and stuff that you had in there. Because if it's from Maryland, you got to have Old Bay. I mean,
Say it in the accent, Mike. Do it right.
You got to go get some crabs. And when you put the crabs in there, you got to make sure you put Old Bay.
Thank you.
By the way, how's Cal? Is his mom doing better? All right, sorry. I had to do that. It was by request. But the she-crab soup is more, if you were going to attribute it to a region, it's more of the like South Carolina, like Charleston area. It's cream-based. There's sherry in it. It's incredible. It's very, very good. The sherry pairs really, really well with the crab. But the crab that comes from that part of the country is a lot sweeter than the crab up here. Like the further south you get, with most crabs too, like they end up becoming a little grainier. than they are the further north you get. The colder water, that sort of thing, makes kind of changes the texture of it. But yeah, that's her go-to, and we joke about it. I was like, you like that one. I like the Maryland crab. What's wrong with you? So
I would like to try both, please.
Yeah, they're both delicious. I mean, you can just buy them in gallon jugs and be good pretty much for the winter.
That sounds delicious. We're going to have to eat after this, gentlemen.
Yeah, I know. It's got to happen. My favorite? See, here's the thing, is we have vowed to stay focused on eating in, not going out to eat as much as we used to. We've been curtailing that for the last couple of years. And my wife has just been like on a kick where she is cooking everything at home. And she made a homemade meatloaf at my son's request because he just absolutely loves meatloaf. And like in particular, where EK the DJ works during his day job, he loves going there to get the meatloaf. Mm-hmm. And he was like, Mom, I want you to make this meatloaf. And she tried it and he ate it. And he was like, well, it's not as good as the one at EK the DJ's place. And she was like, oh, great. And he's like, okay, but I'll have another one. So he ate like two whole like of those little like foil pans of meatloaf himself. He's eight. And just, like, crushed two meatloafs like it was nothing. I had one, too. And I was like, it was like two dogs fighting over a pork chop. Like, we were both like, I'm getting it next. No, you're getting it.
Bart and Homer.
Exactly, yeah. It was that's exactly what I was picturing when I was saying that, too. But, yeah, like, that was incredible. But then she made my personal favorite, chicken parmesan. She made that today. She made it with chicken thighs instead of chicken breast.
I've never actually done.
She did the whole like saran wrap thing, powdered them flat.
Sandy, you just blew my mind.
There you go. Good job, Sandy. we did it with breadcrumbs that we made from bread that we had.
Very nice.
Garlic salt. We did oregano. We did them in the oven instead of frying them, so they were healthier.
Yeah, I do that a lot. Actually.
And then we just did mozzarella and sauce on top of it, and then we did cavatappi pasta.
Nice.
That's my new number one seed. Like I actually put it up on. The Facebook post too.
I saw the picture. I did.
Yeah,
looks awesome.
Yeah, it came out wonderful. That was my absolute favorite. That was the best.
I'm hungry.
Yeah, I know, right? we've got some of our fans who said their favorite things that they've had so far too.
Are there people in the chat?
Let's see. Are there people in the chat? That's a great question. Let's see.
Oh, I thought that's where these fans were coming.
Oh no, this is from my Facebook post that I put on earlier today. We had Patricia. Said that she made a homemade chicken chili soup, organic chicken broth, jalapeno, and poblano peppers with onion, garlic, and cilantro, and of course chicken. Topped it with sour cream and tortilla chips. Personally, I love it with avocado slices. And I was like, that might be the winner. A girl that I work with, Ava, said, well, pretty much anything with potatoes. She's like, in fact, you made, I made potato cakes one day. Yeah, exactly. I made potato cakes, well, because it was Hanukkah time and I was doing the potato latke thing.
Yeah, latkes.
But because I live in Virginia and I'm also like only half Jewish, I had to add ham and cheese to the potato cakes, making them completely unkosher. Yeah, exactly. Like just it was like big middle finger to kosher. Perfect. And I brought them into work and she had one and she was like, "You don't have more of those, do you?" And I was like, "Of course I have more." And she was like, "Thank you." So, she said that that's her favorite one that she's had this year. Comics Online contributor Mark Lutz. He went to his sister's house and they made homemade pizza. And I was like, give me a little bit more about this homemade pizza. What was so great about it? He's like, everything was homemade. The dough, the sauce, the toppings, like all of it. And he's like, you can't beat it. And that's, I agree.
It's actually pretty easy to make your own mozzarella too.
Yeah. It's, and now that I'm learning all of these things too, like I'm surprised at how easy this is.
Yeah, you can do it with simple stuff you probably already have at home.
We got a shout out to a restaurant. A buddy of mine, Aaron Spicer, who actually lives here in Fredericksburg, and is a photographer. So, I mean, if you ever need somebody to do photography for you, he's amazing. Check him out.
Nice.
He said there's a place in Gordonsville called Barbecue Exchange, and he got this thing called the Heaven Sandwich. And listen to what's on this thing: pulled pork, potato, lettuce, tomato, bacon, egg, cheese, and baconaise.
Baconaise.
Baconaise. Mayonnaise.
Now that is something I can get behind. Now there's a segment I was actually planning on doing talking about things like this that where maybe they take flavors too far.
Well, look at that. You know, it's like we just did a segue.
I love bacon.
Wow.
Certain places bacon doesn't belong. But baconaise, I think I could stand behind that.
I think I could too.
I think I can get in with that.
So that was quite the diabolical segue we just did there. Hang on, I'm trying to hit a drop and it doesn't work. That's I ruined it.
So anyways.
Okay, there we go.
when food goes too far.
When food goes too far. You had mentioned this a little bit. We wanted to talk about this. I think we'll start with this one, and then we'll go into our other subjects that we have as well. There is too far
yeah.
for things. And if you could name one thing right now in the food industry that they're just overdoing, that they're going to kill it, what is it?
I think they're trying to overdo the bacon flavor and everything.
I mean, is anybody like pretty content where you're like, no, I need more bacon. This is not enough.
Bacon flavored things, I'm not interested in. Having bacon on things, I'm on board with it. Whatever it is whatever you want. Oh, your meatloaf. You would like to wrap that in bacon? I'm on board.
No, that's fantastic.
You want to wrap
more actual bacon? I'm talking bacon flavor.
No, bacon flavor is stupid.
So this may be getting out of the actual realm of so-called food, but consumables.
Yeah.
Like, the worst thing I've ever tasted was bacon flavored gum. Like, why would somebody do that?
I just threw up a little bit.
Why would somebody do that to me? And then there's things that, you know, people might be 50-50 on, and I'm going to call Kevin out on this because he offered me some pickle-flavored cashews as I walked in.
Dill pickle cashews, come on.
And see, that's probably a 50-50 split because I know a lot of people that would be like, oh, hell yeah, that sounds fantastic. But to me,
me too, yeah.
But
yeah.
to me, and it seems like I'm alone here, but I'm... Oh, God.
It's just you.
Just for one, I'm all by yourself. Stop with the pickle-flavored, like pickle-flavored vodka and
there's pickle flavored vodka.
Oh yeah, there's bacon flavored vodka too. There's salmon flavored vodka.
It's like okay,
this is the type salmon of shit flavored I'm
vodka.
Talking
salmon
about.
Flavored like, vodka. Hey, are you out of bagels? Are you Jewish? Do you want to get drunk too? Have some salmon flavored vodka. Like, are you a bear?
Well, that's the thing.
Do you want a shot of like
pickle shots? You just need a jar of pickles, and you use the juice. You don't need the vodka to already be pickle flavor. That's silly.
But see, this saves you the effort. See, everything that goes right back to something I made in the first. A point I made in the first episode was everything's about convenience. People can't even take a little bit of pickle juice and pour it into a shot of vodka
it's
anymore.
Too much
it has to
ask.
Become pre-mixed.
Well, that's it's also like the comedian Brian Regan, like he's one of my favorites, and he has this bit about peanut butter and jelly in the same jar. He's like, how lazy do you have to be? Like, I want a sandwich, but I don't want to have to open two jars and use who knows how many knives.
Yeah.
And then he was talking about, he talked about putting in a squeeze bottle and then putting croutons in there so you have the whole sandwich in a squeeze bottle. But that's, you're absolutely right. And like, Sandy makes fun of me all the time because for a while, KFC had the famous bowls where it was all of their stuff in just one big pile. And again, another comedian, Patton Oswalt, called that the failure pile in a sadness bowl. And she makes fun of me because a lot of times I'll eat my meals like that, where I'll take, like, if I'm doing breakfast, if I've made, like, hash browns, I'll do the hash browns and the eggs and the sausage, like, all together, just kind of mix it all together. And she's like, are you done with your failure pile yet? And I'm like, really? Every time? Like, it tastes good all together. It really does. Like,
what was the thing KFC did? Perfect example, KFC. Yeah. Their double chicken sandwich, like...
Oh,
or was it
the double down?
The double down. It was like
I never
two pieces of chicken covered by two pieces of chicken with bacon and cheese and ranch. And
it
like
sounds delicious. I never got a chance to have it. It was gone before.
With cheese and bacon and sauce in the middle.
Yeah.
And I actually went. I went and got one time with a buddy of mine. Yeah. But we split it and each got like an actual bun and put one of the pieces of chicken in and each had a chicken sandwich for $5. So it was nice. But
yeah, it's
like. That's that's the type of shit I'm talking about.
Well, it's
and the thing is, it's not even just fast food. I don't have as many prime examples for other restaurants.
Oh, I've got a great one, and his name is fucking Guy Fieri.
Oh yes, there
because
you go.
I personally love him. I think he's an amazing restaurateur. He's not a chef. Everybody calls him chef, but he's not a chef.
Not a chef.
He went to school for what's the word? I can't even think of it. He got the degree in essentially, like the hotel management,
we used to call it HRM, hotel restaurant management.
Yeah, that's where he got his degree. So he knows how to market things. And the guy's a genius because right now he's riding the wave of extreme food. Mm-hmm. Because if you think about Guy Fieri, you're not thinking of like something simple, like, you know, a hamburger with a slice of tomato. No, this motherfucker's like, it's a hamburger that's like sauteed and marinated in Jack Daniel's sauce, but it's Jack Daniel's barbecue soy sauce infused with garlic. And then it's on a ramen patty or on a ramen bun with extra pickles and coleslaw and mayonnaise. And, like, it's the most complicated recipes that you've ever heard in your life. And then he'll just, like, unhinge his jaw like a python and eat the whole thing.
Yeah. And then you got You got Bobby Flay on the other end.
Yeah.
Like, people, he's like the other end of the spectrum, sort of, but...
Except for everything he does has to have mango salsa for some reason.
Everything has to be spicy. Everything has to have chilies or peppers. And it's
yeah.
Like, oh, just,
well, it's kind of, I mean, to a certain degree, it's nice to see these interesting concepts created. But at the same time, too, sometimes I just want a burger with lettuce, tomato, and a pickle. Like, that's it. Just don't add all this extra shit to it. Like,
yeah.
Like, well, it's a burger with pulled pork. Well, that's two sandwiches. Like, why would you need to have both of those at the same time?
Yeah. Like, there's... If you want to do something new and innovative, be new and innovative. Make a new dish. Don't just try to take a burger and just, you know, stack a bunch of shit on it and call yourself a chef.
Like, the one thing that's driving me nuts, though, is if you watch a lot of these food competition shows, which I watch a ton of them... you'll hear the chefs come on and they'll be like, I did a deconstructed, like, oh, just stop. As soon as they say the word deconstructed, I'm out. Because it just basically means, like, I had this thing I was going to prepare, but then I was like, eh, fuck it. I'm just going to throw it on the plate instead of preparing it for you.
I fucked up and burnt the bread, so sorry. Working in kitchens, that's how that shit happens. Like, yeah, we ran out of bread, so this is a deconstructed sandwich now.
It's a
there's a few croutons on there for crunch. That's your bread.
My refrigerator froze my lettuce, and so this is my deconstructed salad. That's what I've been having the past couple nights, is a deconstructed salad.
But that's for yourself. You're not presenting it to
It's true.
Gordon Ramsay, and then him taking a bite and spitting it out and then throwing it at you and calling you like a cow or something like that.
It's for the best.
Yeah. That's like, I was going to write an article about it, but like, I think just venting about it here is probably going to be the better route. Like, why is it that every single food competition show has to be angry, has to be divisive, has to be like cutthroat? And I'm not just saying Cutthroat Kitchen because that's the name of the show. I'm saying all of them. Because you see it and they...
Hell's Kitchen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They'll do these little vignettes where it's like, I'm here to win and I don't give... Fuck who I embarrass and blah, blah, blah. And I'll slash somebody's neck if I have to make a chicken sandwich. And you're just like, dude... Like, it's cool. What is the dog farting?
The dog is farting so bad.
Swanson.
Eric closes the door.
As he runs away.
He's like, gotta save my baby. I don't want to smell it.
Gotta save my baby. I gotta worry about me and mine. But yeah, like, it just blows me away that, like...
Well...
I mean, they're giving us what we want because that's what Americans want to see on TV.
Yeah,
but like,
well, it's part that's what Americans want to see on TV. Everybody wants to see drama. Everybody wants to see anger in any type of television show. There has to be some degree of that or else people aren't interested.
But that's what they also tell us. But I disagree, though.
Yeah, because there's a show. Kevin, go. I mean, go, man, because I know where you're going with this. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I want to see you know, like the kid ones where they're helpful and they're like, "Oh, you messed up. Let me help you." I would like to see cooperative things instead. But what were you going to say, Eric?
Well, I was going to say, as an adult working in the kitchen, there is a lot of anger. I will say, like, a lot of times the guys behind the line in the heat of the moment, they're not very nice to each other. Even though, like, I would go out and get beers with those guys every night afterwards, I would be screaming at them throughout the night, especially when I was on grill and I had to have an app to go with my, you know, my medium rare steak. So, like, my medium rare steak sitting in the window. My fry guy is, like, putting up all the other apps, not giving me one of these fucking bang bangs that needs to go with this steak. I'm screaming at him to get this fucking app up here so I can, like... And, like, literally, it's just, like... And he's, like, screaming back at me, you know, fuck you, dude. I got 100 fucking apps coming in. Why don't you come down here and get it yourself? Man, fuck you. Why don't you come down here and cook these steaks, motherfucker? Like, seriously, there's just so many times where somebody would be like, dude, do we need to go outside right now? I think we do. And then, like, the manager would come up... No, everybody stay cooking. Everybody just cook. Everybody gets a free beer tonight after the shift. It's okay. Like, you know, like, it is seriously heated. And so, I mean, maybe part of it is an act to hype up the TV show, but I think a good part of those are very true. Now, like, Gordon Ramsay, I think, is totally overblown for TV.
Oh, yeah.
Because you watch him on a UK station, a BBC or whatever else have you. And he's, like, the most calm, like, whatever guy. And he even has, like, one of those renovating shows.
Oh, Kitchen Nightmares. I love that one. Yeah.
He has Kitchen Nightmares on BBC, too. There's an American version, and there's a British version. And in the American version, he's like, you fucking stupid asshole, blah, blah, blah.
Is he polite in the British one?
In the British one, he is so much more polite. Even if they get rude with him, he's like, all right. Like, he's more likely to just turn around and walk out than to flip out. And he'll be like, fine, if you're going to do that, then you don't need my help. And he'll just leave. And they're like, oh, we're sorry, Chef Ramsay, come back. Like, he is totally, that is like when I started to realize how much American shows are just overblown. Because whether or not that's what the people actually want, that's what the people putting it out feel that people want.
Yeah.
And it could really be also a difference between a European kitchen and an American kitchen.
And that, solid point. Very solid point.
Well, and that's why I wanted to talk to you about this, because I knew you would give me a perspective that I never had. I mean, like, I waited tables when I was like 17 years old, but I was never cooking. So like, it's, you don't know until you've actually done it.
Two different worlds. The front of the house and the back of the house.
It is, yeah.
Two different worlds.
And like, we watched a show, and actually the cooking side and the baking side, I want to compare these two for a second.
Because also very different.
We watched this show called The Great American Bake Off, and it was on ABC, and it was this British woman, and she was very prim and proper, and everything was supposed to be delicate and intricate and gorgeous, and everything had to be a certain way, but like, she was never shitty about it. She was just like, oh, this was delightful. The texture was a little off, but overall I enjoyed this. And like, there weren't people like crying or like cutting their fingers and being like, oh, fuck it, I'll just cut it off, I'm gonna keep cooking. Like, they were, and like, the people were helping each other. Like, oh my God, I don't know how I'm going to do it. I burned this. It's okay. You know what? I've got a little extra dough. I'm going to come over and help you with it. And you were just like, well, damn. And they're like friends at the end instead of being like, fuck you. No, fuck you. I'm going to slit your throat. Like, it was so much more subdued. But I'm thinking now that this is more the difference between baking and
yeah,
cooking.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. One show I will say I really enjoy that I do see a lot of camaraderie between people who actually have a lot at stake is Chopped.
Yeah.
There's been a number of times that I've seen people, like, you know, they got $10,000 on the line, and they're, you know, like, helping each other out. That is awesome. I do like to see a little bit of camaraderie, but...
Well, and I think that, too, that if you want to compare hosts, if you compare Ted Allen on Chopped, he's not shitty about it when somebody loses. They don't insult them.
The judges are.
Yeah, he'll sit there, and he'll be like, Eric... You've been chopped. I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah. He's like the shoulder to cry on there.
Yeah, whereas like Aaron Sanchez is like, my mother used to make these on top of a trash can lid in Mexico, and this is worse than that. They were made of rat drop, and like, he just like rips them a new one every time. Like,
and I forget the dude's last name, but Nick, the dude with the big nose.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Like, dude, if you give him raw onions, yeah, like, he fucking flips out. Like,
yeah,
there was raw onions in that salad, and.
Just get out.
And after my own intestines.
No, I can completely agree with that. I'm not a fan of raw onions myself.
Yeah. Mr. Goswan?
I just, you know, I'm a spitter, not a swallower when it comes to raw onions.
Yeah.
Gross.
Anymore.
We always go back to that, don't we? Talk to me a little bit about these kid baking shows.
The kids baking. Well, you know, I haven't watched them in a while. I mean, you've been really more into them than I have. But basically, now I haven't seen the kids baking shows. I've seen the kids. Was it like Junior Chopped or whatever it was? Or
Chopped Junior? Yeah.
I've been watching the one with Duff Goldman and Valerie Bertinelli on Food Network. Valerie Bertinelli. I just always call her Valerie Bertinelli because it's from Family Guy. Because I'm lame.
That's funny. Okay. I did. You know, as a food service professional, I once delivered her pizza.
Did you?
True story.
Was Van Halen there too? Was Eddie there?
Van Halen was playing across the street, and I delivered to the hotel, and there she came. She came to the door in a bathrobe, and I was like, "Oh, is it my birthday?" But no, she just paid me, and I got the fuck out. But
handle that pizza one day at a time?
Yeah, I sure did. Okay. Right. I sure did. Okay. It was very exciting for me, and I wish the moment had lasted longer, but it was extremely brief. I also, same hotel, I delivered to the Beastie Boys.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Nice.
What did they order? Pizza as well? Or
They ordered a bunch of pizzas. She just ordered one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I think she just ate it herself, like, while she cried herself to sleep.
While she cried herself to sleep.
As Eddie Van Halen was banging groupies, like, just left and right.
Probably.
Yeah, okay.
Probably. I was willing to comfort her, frankly, but, you know, she didn't know that. And how do you broach such a subject?
I got this pizza here. I mean, there's a whole set of videos online, Kevin, about this. Okay,
well, I'm gonna have to do some research. Come back to you next week.
The kids baking show. I want to go into that for just a quick second though, because like they chose Duff Goldman as the co-host with Valerie Burton Ernie, and it was the best choice ever. Because Duff Goldman might as well just be a 40-year-old child. Because he's got the same enthusiasm that these kids do.
I like him.
They're like, I made this volcano cake, and he's like, dude, that's awesome. That's the coolest thing I've ever seen. Like, he's just as excited as they are. And they like feed off of it. And he'll be like, you know, this didn't taste that good, but you tried hard, kid. And it's like, it's the perfect like foil. And I almost wish that it was kind of like that with adults, because just a little bit, because with the adults, they're just like, oh, you forgot this one ingredient and you're chopped and you're a piece of shit and I hope you die. And you're just like, damn. I do like the Alton Brown one though, where, Cutthroat Kitchen, because Alton Brown just acts like a mad asshole like throughout the entire thing. He's like, now you have to cook with one leg tied behind your back while I throw pebbles at you while you're cooking. Like, he just comes up with like the most insane things.
What was his old show? What was the big
Good
one
Eats?
Called?
Good Eats.
No, the other one where he was the just the host. What's that one called? That was my favorite.
Crap,
frankly,
what's it called with the Iron Chef?
Iron Chef.
Iron Chef America. Yeah.
I love that one.
I couldn't think of it.
Forever.
And I was like, Ninja Warrior. Ninja Warrior. That was the only thing that was popping in my head.
Also a good show.
Just imagine if you had to cook while you were doing the Ninja Warrior course.
That would be rough.
Like saute station in between.
Like doing that little like monkey bar thing while you're like trying to flip an omelet.
An egg. Over easy, damn you.
And then Gordon Ramsay, of course, is the judge, and he spits it out at you and throws shit at you while you're trying to like climb the mountain.
Throwing plates at you.
Yeah.
It'll happen. Give it time.
We wanted to also discuss how you can eat. Okay, so the biggest complaint that a lot of people will say is, I can't eat healthy because it's too expensive. And I think that there's kind of a misnomer with this. And when you look at like, oh, I could go to McDonald's and I could get a burger and fries. I mean, you can get a large fry and a Big Mac right now for $5. How do I know this? Because I found out. Because I went to McDonald's and did this.
McPick too.
But what's interesting about this, though, is we've been eating healthy for a while now. I had it, and it actually made me physically sick. Like, I couldn't stomach it anymore. And I used to eat that all the time. That was like my go-to. And it's, you really can, when you break down... I mean, kind of break this down a little bit as a butcher, like what it costs comparatively to buy this like cheap, you know, the pink slime shit, or going to an actual butcher and getting it. But also generally kind of give us the breakdown on like the difference between these things, like how, like what is it, what's the difference between just going and buying a cereal at a grocery store and, or like buying something that's locally sourced, buying something that is... what was the word you used? And I made fun of it, and I said it was Confederate States of America, CSA.
Oh, CSA. Yeah.
Well,
the CSA is a model that a lot of farmers are using now, and it's really become popular, at least over here, that you basically invest in a farmer at the beginning of the season, and you say, I don't know, maybe it's $300 for the season, depending on the farmer, and you get every week a box of fresh vegetables. And in my experience, it's more vegetables than I can even eat, and I can eat a lot of vegetables. So I found that to be a really good deal, because the farmer's benefiting. They're getting money when they need it, when they're ordering seeds, when they're ordering soil, when they're doing what they have to do to invest in the operation. And then you're benefiting, because then you're getting kind of like bonus. Then, you know, if you would have gone to the grocery store and spent the same amount of money, you'd probably end up with a lot more that way.
So kind of changing the whole dynamic, too, instead of being like, I have to go to this location to buy the eggs, the milk, the lettuce, the tomatoes, the carrots, to do all the things that I want to do. You can just invest in the farm and get essentially everything you need.
Some are super convenient. Some, if you're near the farm, you go and pick it up at their location, but... others might come to your neighborhood, to like a coffee shop or someone's, one of your neighbor's porches, and deliver the boxes there every week. And so you're not really making that carbon footprint, if you will, of, you know, traveling the whole way to the farm or the whole way to the grocery store, depending on where you live, how close that is.
And you're not paying the the upscale for the grocery stores,
right.
Like, you're not paying the middleman, basically.
Yeah, I mean,
you're going
it goes
straight
from a
to the farmer.
You think of the system and where
it's
it starts and where it ends up, and that kind of helps you think about it. If you're taking it to the grocery store, it's going from a farm, maybe to a warehouse, you know, truck to warehouse to truck, to, and how many people had to hold it, how many people had to bang up that tomato. And
you know, how many pesticides were used to preserve it.
Or ripening agents.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, anything like that. So.
So I have a question about this. I participated in something with a little bit of a different dynamic. Before I moved out here, I worked out at Scott Air Force Base in southern Illinois. This is by St. Louis. There was a coalition of co-ops, basically, and what you would do is you would you would order ahead you know, ahead of time. You would order, but not a ton ahead of time. You would order a week ahead of time, and pay in. You would get like the basic vegetable pack. Like, here's what everybody's going to get this week, you know, and they would tell you generally what you would get, and then you could also purchase add-on items. Right, and you did it all through the website, and then you showed up on the designated day, and so it was like, I think it was like 8 days later, you would go and show up, and this was just right outside of, this was in like a church that was right outside of the base, and I would just go and pick up my stuff, and I would end up with like, you know, two big crates, like bigger than I could fit into my refrigerator at home. Of fruits and vegetables and other items, and it's like you said, it kind of skipped the skipped the grocery store, and so I was getting it sooner. It wasn't sitting in a back room waiting, you know, it's sitting in a cooler or just sitting in a warehouse. I got it a little sooner, I got it a little fresher, and
probably costing you less,
and it certainly costed me less, way less, and because of the fact that the way they said, okay, here is, you know, this week everybody gets this, and there's, you know, you don't get to, not take this. Now you could go and stand there and say, hey, does anybody want my beets? Because I don't eat those, or whatever I do. Market trolley, I eat beets, damn it. you eat beets?
I have a beet on my shirt.
Oh,
actually.
I thought you were just flashing us, and I was trying to be cool over here.
Beets.
I mean, Janet, you're already on the show. I mean, you're cool.
It's like, yeah, it's cool. It's cool. It's fine. You don't have to contribute in that way.
Not like this, Jenna. Not like this.
I'll contain my beets next time.
Contain your beets. Okay. Hold on.
But yeah, there was some trading. You know, there was some trading going on, and. I really love that. Is there anything like that? We're circling back around. Does anybody do co-op things like that here?
I've seen a number of models. So I know the local farms in the area do that. And they'll not just vegetable farms, but some of the livestock, like the beef places, will do, say, buy a share where you get a little bit every month or a side of beef.
And I mean,
whole.
As far as produce farms, we have Miller's Farm. We have Sneed's Farm. Out in Midland, we have Mast Farms, who I know David Mast personally. He does do, if you're interested in buying like a half a cow or something straight from the source, you don't want to even go to the butcher shop, you can do that.
This is a great area to do this, too,
but
because
great.
Virginia has, I mean, it makes me sound very like proud of my home, and I am, because you can get just about anything you need here.
Yeah, fresh.
Like, yeah, every we're very close to just about anything you would possibly need.
The weather sucks,
except for Roberto's.
Well,
oh, sorry.
I'm sorry. Your tacos in a burrito, okay? Like, not everybody can have that, okay?
I need San Diego Mexican food so I can feel better about life.
We do need one out here. That would be amazing. Yeah. That would be like, I would never need to go back.
Well, I'm sure that there's a lot of people that are moving from San Diego right now. Like, you know, a football team.
There's a lot of people leaving San Diego. I was only staying for the Chargers, and now I'm released.
Actually, I feel like
I'm a free agent.
There you go. So, well, you know what? There it is. You find somebody who's running a taco joint in San Diego who like worked just for the Chargers.
Yeah,
and be like, listen, why don't you come to Virginia?
Yeah,
we're a lot nicer. We're not going to leave. We're not going to go to Los Angeles.
You can pick whatever team you want, and it doesn't matter.
Exactly. I mean, Eric might try to push you towards the Steelers, but you know, it's fine.
You know, if you want to pick the best team, yeah.
That's what I've heard.
If you want to be self-hating, you can be a Washington fan, just like me. It's great.
So anyways, CSAs, co-ops, those are all...
Actually, another model, too. It's what you're describing is kind of, you know, there's co-ops that do that. There's buying clubs. There's different kinds of... they call them a food hub.
Okay.
Kind of like an aggregator of food. you know, you work with local businesses and say they're too small to do that kind of weekly production on their own, they become the middleman, sort of, and collect all those cool items, say the coffee and all those specialty things, and then you kind of craft your own box or whatever, what have you. And
you do this on site or ahead of time?
Usually it's like an online sort of process so that they have time to pack it and have it ready for you when you pick up, but there's a lot of room for innovation there still probably, but everyone's just trying to make it work for their region because, you know, some places like it to be a little more of a luxury item and some places want it to be a more of an affordable item.
Yeah, I mean, especially in an area like this where there's a huge disparity. Like, there's the people that the haves and then there's the have-nots, but for the most part, everybody's kind of in the middle. Everybody's kind of like in the middle. Like my wife and I joke about this all the time. We're too rich to get like the cheap housing, but we're too poor to really have great housing. You know what I mean? Like and being in that middle, that the middle class. That's what we are. That's pretty much what this whole area is. And that's why I was trying to go into this whole like you can in fact eat cheaply and not have to eat crap, and there's so many ways to do it. Like you said, there's co-ops.
Going back to that, like, eating fast food every day, it seems like, oh, you know, I can go get a burger for $1, or I can go get a McPick 2, and I can get a 10-piece nugget and a triple cheeseburger.
Are you ready for the tie-in here?
Uh-oh.
Are you ready for this? Because we have a listener who you know.
Oh, yeah.
I know, because I live with her, who has reminded us that the Let me read it word for word. Those are all great options, but back to where you started. Fast food being cheaper than healthy food is bullshit because Aldi.
Oh.
Exactly.
Let's talk a little bit about Aldi.
Yeah, I was getting there.
I'm sorry. Like, she was like, I think she was like, she was waiting for you to do it, Eric. And she's like, no. Get to it now.
She beat me to it. But yeah, that's exactly where I was going with that. You can buy the cheaper, you can buy what's, you know, what you think is cheaper because it's just a dollar, but you eat that in one sitting.
Yeah.
And you know what? Like, it's produced to make you hungry again. Like, I could eat a 10-piece nugget and a triple cheeseburger, and I'm hungry again in an hour, which I just ate like a pound or more of food, garbage food, and I want more afterwards.
Yeah.
And that's the effect that it has. It's terrible. For almost all of our actual groceries, we shop at Aldi now. Like, forget the brand. Forget the branding. Forget, like, this name brand of cereal,
Let's give a shout out to Clancy's potato chips real quick from Aldi.
Yes.
Because those things are like a dollar, and they are fucking delicious.
I feel like everything at Aldi is a freaking dollar, and it's all delicious. Like,
bratwurst,
everything we get from there, we're like, let's try this.
I got half a dozen bratwursts for like $2.
Yeah.
It was like the greatest thing ever. I felt like I was stealing something. I'm like walking out like backwards out of the store, and I'm like, be cool. Be cool. Nobody has to get hurt, okay?
Like, and like, we got some frozen, like, boneless chicken wings. And I looked at the back. There's, like, no preservatives in it. But I'm like, all right, let's try these. It might be all right. They were fucking delicious. Like, oh, my God. We both were eating them one night because we were lazy and didn't want to cook. We both got off work late that night. And they were fucking fantastic from Aldi. Oh, my God.
Are you guys as excited as I am that we're getting a Lidl?
I have no idea.
You don't know
what
Lidl
is?
I'm in the dark on this one.
I get to drop this on you guys? Okay. So Lidl is a European grocery marketplace style. They're building here. They have a distribution center here. Like, this is going to be the hub for everything to grow from here. It's very similar to the Aldi, because Aldi is German.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they use a lot of European products, but also, too, they try to keep the cost low. Lidl's the same way. But they also do the organic stuff. They stay away from the...
I just read that Aldi is 100% organic now.
Yeah. I mean, we're starting to see a lot of these companies go to this. A lot of these grocery stores, a lot of restaurants. Yeah.
I typically, even though I love all the stuff from Aldi, I still haven't been super impressed with their meat. I'll get to where you can get fantastic meat and how you can get fantastic meat.
And the answer is from Eric Meyer.
Yes. But...
you missed the wink and the gun he just did to everybody. Yeah. It was pretty awesome.
In my pants.
That old trouser.
One more time. Might as well, right?
Wouldn't be a show without it.
Of course. Of course not.
Now I just completely lost my train of thought.
Wegmans is another spot. That is, there's tons of organic options. Their store brand is incredible too.
Yeah.
Like they are committed to trying to give people healthy options. And I mean, you want to talk about their like their butcher section, like their meats for the most part.
Amazing.
Yeah, like just great meat selection, but
and cheese. I can't get out of their cheese section. It's terrible.
That's where I was going with the Aldi. We actually got the pork that she was talking about. We tried a couple of pork butts from Aldi, and man, they were fantastic. Like great marbling, great flavor, everything.
I did too. It wasn't at Aldi though. That was mostly off of Tinder. thank you.
But if you really want, you know, some more diverse cuts of meat and to get them at a really good rate, go to a butcher shop. Whether you live in Fredericksburg or you don't, or even if you don't have a butcher shop, you can find a farm somewhere. Especially if you're in anywhere in Virginia, you could find a farm that, you know, you could make a deal with, get half a cow, get quarter cow, something, just get some primals. But if you're in Fredericksburg, for instance, you go down to Old Town Butcher, and you know, if you go in, a lot of people look at the tenderloins, look at the ribeyes, and they see $14 to $20 a pound, and they get turned off. They're like, "Oh my God, this place is too expensive. I have to get out of here." But you have to know what you're looking at. If you're, you know, that's the stuff that they have to have that stuff, because that's what draws the a lot of crowds in. But they're making razor profits on that stuff. Stuff is just to have.
So if you're somebody's coming to you, somebody says, "Eric, bro, I want to eat like a damn hell ass king.
Damn hell ass kings.
I got $20. What can I buy meat wise? Because I think for a lot of people that is where their brain goes. If I've got only a few bucks, it needs to be meat. And because you're like, again, you know, you don't win friends with salad. To use two Simpsons references in the same concept here. A lot of people just, when it comes to vegetables or anything, like they're just, nope, no, need meat. $20. What would you recommend?
I am totally one of those people.
Yeah.
And I have been in this situation where I had $20 and I went down to Old Town Butcher. And I got, I think it was 2 to 3 pounds of chicken thighs, which are $2.59 a pound. So $2.59 a pound times three.
One good thing in this area I've found is when you talk about cheap meat, inexpensive and yet good meat. What's the place called? The grocery chain.
Which one?
With two last names.
Two last names. Harris Teeter.
That's the one.
Yeah.
So I went down to the Norman Reedus, and and got
Norman.
If you go to their butcher counter. Boneless, skinless chicken breasts are always $1.99. But you have to go during those hours that their butcher counter is open. You can't go and grab it late night or anything. But $1.99 for boneless, skinless chicken breasts at all the ones that I've been to. I mean, I can't say that happens in every store.
Well, one thing is, any grocery store, if you feel brave enough, or you'd like to train yourself to be brave enough, is if you get a whole chicken. It's usually the cheapest option.
Yeah.
You can just stick the whole thing in the crock pot if you're really not brave at all. And you can make soup from it. You could just roast it in there.
Oh, yeah. We do a whole chicken in a crock pot with essentially the seasonings you would make tacos with. Mm. And then just pulled on tortillas, and it's wonderful. You do that in a can of salsa.
You're almost Mexican, Mike.
Almost.
Yeah.
Almost.
I did some really nice tacos the other night. We got some tortillas. Roasted some chicken thighs with some nice dry
Seriously,
rub on them.
Like this is,
made some rice.
I ate before I came,
I
and
you were
I'm hungry
talk about the
again.
Skirt steak.
Oh, we did skirt steak tacos the other night too.
God damn it!
See, listen, like do you see what you're doing here?
I have a nice kitchen. You can come over.
I think that's our next step is we're going to make this a video podcast.
Just come over to my house. I've got a look at my kitchen's pretty. Come on.
It is. Yeah, he's got a beautiful kitchen, and he's got a hot tub that you got from some guy, I know.
Some Mike Lunsford.
Yeah, it was me. Hey, what is it they say about Mike Lunsford?
Mike Lunsford, balls of steel.
Yeah. Yeah, he does. Sorry, I haven't gotten to use that this year, so I was excited.
First drop of the year.
Exactly. And that's the thing. I think there's so much out there And I mean, we're my son said to me, he was like, because my birthday's coming up next month. He was like, Dad, are we going to go out to eat for your birthday? I was like, no.
Fuck no, son.
Well, it's like you were there.
paying, son?
Yeah. No, I told him, I was like, no, dude. And he was like, well, why not? I was like, because, okay, let me break this down for you. I was like, this meal that we just had, the chicken parmesan, pasta, the box of pasta, 70 cents. The pasta sauce, $3. The chicken thighs, another $3. The cheese, the mozzarella was like $2 or $3. That right there, that's like $10 total for everything. And that was to feed all of us. That's to feed me, you, your sister, and your mom. I was like, that's four people for $10.
And that's one of the points I didn't get to get to about the whole, like, you think the dollar menu is an illusion of it being cheaper, but it's really not because it's only one meal. You eat it all, and then that's it. Whereas when a lot of times I cook for myself, like, we'll eat three. I'll feed me and Jenna out of it like three or four times easily, and it was half the cost in the first place.
Yeah,
yeah. It's really more of a convenience thing, and if you think it's
yes.
If you think it's anything other than convenience, you're fooling yourself. It's not cheaper. It's just more convenient. Yeah.
And I think that's something that I want this show to kind of evolve into, is over time start giving recipes, start giving ideas. Like, hey, you got $20 instead of saying I'm going down to Taco Bell. And I'm blowing it all on quesadillas and chalupas. No, like,
that's a
here,
terrible idea.
Here's what you can do. You can go and you can get these things. And I was making fun of it, but like most people, when they hear coupons, they're like, oh, you know, the housewife clipping coupons. No, that's bullshit. Because any person who's smart will clip coupons. Because there was a time when, and you remember this, Eric, when I left Fredericksburg to go to Roanoke to take over for that other place that I used to work. We won't mention their name because they're dickheads.
That we don't speak of.
We don't speak of them. When I was down there, I took that job and things got shitty and we were on a really, really tight budget. My wife managed to feed myself, her, and my son, who at the time was 2 but had an endless stomach. Endless stomachs, endless sandwich. You see what I did there? On like nothing. I mean, like with couponing and savvy ways of shopping. And you can do it. You just have to put the effort into it. Because what's more important to you? Your health? You know, your budget? Or being able to eat a cheeseburger whenever you want. You know, like, suck it up. You know, sometimes you're going to have nothing but vegetables for dinner. You're not going to have meat because sometimes meat is more expensive until you start finding ways to stretch it, until you find ways to use one big purchase to have meat for an entire week. You're just going to have chicken this week because that's all we have. But
learn your cuts because, I mean,
yeah.
Like I was talking about the shanks. Shanks down butcher shop are $4.99 a pound. $4.99 a pound, and it's freaking delicious beef. Now, you're a little limited with some of the stuff you can do when you get some of the cheaper cuts like shanks. Granted, you have to cook it slow. You try to throw a shank on a grill, it's just going to shrink up and be a tough little ball of nothing.
I think it's about communication, though. I mean, if you're just going to talk, just go to the butcher, ask them what they recommend, and they'll usually be able to tell you how to cook it, too. So,
yeah,
you know, don't go in there with the guise of getting a shank and, like you said, trying to have a steak from it. But there are some great cuts of steak that
a hanger
you wouldn't
steak,
even
for
know.
Instance.
Yes. So say, what's the cheapest steak I can get, and what do you think of it? And, you know, what's it?
So there's a steak I've mentioned previously, but it's called a hanging tender, and it sits right on the diaphragm, and it's $8.99 a pound choice, and like $7.99 a pound local down at the butcher shop, and it is a fantastic cut. They pretty much always have them.
It's tender, too, is what you were describing last time, is that it's like, because of where it's located.
Because it does no actual work. That's, you know, the reason the shank is tough, because it's supporting a one-ton animal for the entirety of its existence.
Well, and think about it, too. Like, for those of you who shudder at the concept of veal, who are like, oh, God, no, it's a baby cow that was shoved in a box. The reason why veal is so popular, and it's still being consumed, even with the horrible thought of the way it's made, is because it's so fucking tender. But and if you can get that on a cow without having to force feed a baby that only lives in a box, then yeah, I mean that's.
And there are actually farms that are doing veal now that are doing it in a more humane way.
Yeah, tell me a little bit about that, because I wouldn't even know where to start with that.
And that's actually the veal we used to get at the butcher shop. They don't get it too often anymore because it's really expensive. But the veal they do get, you can special order it down there. It's allowed to roam a little bit. They're not in quite as big of a enclosement as like the cows per se, but they're smaller. They don't quite need as much. But they're basically they're allowed to be free for the short time that they're alive. They're obviously still killed young so that the meat stays tender. But they found that, like, even if the cow does get some degree of exercise, like, it doesn't really make it too tough. It's still a very tender cut. So, I mean, it's still, you could make the argument it's still inhumane to kill the cow so young. But, I mean, if the cow's really being raised just for food anyways, does it matter when it's killed?
I understand that some people feel that way, where they're like, oh, you know, it's inhumane, but, like, what...
I understand chaining it to a wall or keeping it in a box. That's, you know,
I mean, it's
that's
not like
ridiculous.
It's not like the cow, you know, it's like this cow had the cure for cancer. Like, he had a whole formula worked up. Like, it was him and this other cow, Bob and Jim. They had a whole thing. They were going to change the world. But then you guys had to have steak, didn't you? Yeah. Murderers. Like, yeah. I get it. I understand. But at the same time, too, like...
I mean, you got to respect the animal.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think that's really what it comes down to.
You have to respect the animal, both before and after. It's alive. Like, that's what it comes down to. They give their lives for us. So the least we can do is show them a little respect.
And feed them properly and keep them in places where they're not having their beaks ripped off.
I mean, that only helps us in the long run. Yeah. Like, feeding them properly. Like, nobody wants to eat a sick cow or, like... By American standards, a healthy cow that's been pumped up with antibiotics.
Or a scared cow.
Yeah. Or a scared cow, yeah. When a cow is scared upon the butchering experience, it releases adrenaline into its meat.
It changes the flavor, yeah.
And it gets very dark. And the, as a butcher, we used to call it a dark cutter. And we could tell when the slaughterhouse, we actually had to go to the slaughterhouse one time and tell them, like, hey, you guys got to chill with our cows. Like, you got to stop freaking them out because you're giving us dart cutters every
reading
time.
Reading them Stephen King books before they came. And then the car started itself. I wanted to, because I mean we're hitting an hour, so I think we're about ready to wrap. But one of the things that I wanted to do here, I mean, I didn't prepare you guys for this, so I apologize.
No, it's fine. That
Jenna,
curveball.
Are you ready for this?
Shoot.
We're gonna grill you. It's coming. Not really. No, I'm just kidding. One of the things that you had mentioned
grilled
before,
Jenna sounds pretty good.
Well, he was saying earlier about throwing a shank up on the grill. And,
there you go.
And it would just
look at this guy got jokes all day.
Damn.
Very nice.
You had mentioned something before you came down when we were talking about having you on the show. You had talked about I want to learn about the style of cooking down here, the Appalachian style.
Oh yeah.
And I did research, so I'm ready for this. I want to talk to you about this.
I thought it was Appalachian.
Appalachian. I'm from here, motherfucker.
Hey, man. Okay. I just learned from locals that we say it wrong elsewhere.
Well, no, I've heard the same thing.
I've always said
too.
Appalachian, man.
Yeah.
What the
we're,
fuck do I know?
Technically,
Pennsylvania
I'm...
Pennsylvania way?
Yeah. That's, I'm more Pennsylvania than I am anything else. My mom's from up there, so whatever, you know? But my dad's from down here, but I've lived here most of my life. But, like, the reason I wanted to bring this up is because I did do some research, and one of the things that was really interesting about it is... In the cooking style that they use, it's not so much like, oh, well, in this region they do this or this region they do this. No, it's whatever the fuck they had.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And that's what was like fascinating to me is so many people will be like, oh, I want to go get this or I want to go get that. And we're probably all guilty of it. You'll be sitting there in your house and you see what you have and you're like, you know what would be really great? I really want to have a burrito right now, but I don't have any of the shit to make it. And, like, I think we've all been guilty of that at one
totally.
Point or another. Yeah, and it's...
Like, more than one point, like, every other day.
And it's the convenience factor, too, you know, that we can get everything readily.
Yeah, we have everything in our hands, yeah.
Yeah, but, like, in talking to my wife and the way she grew up, because her parents are both from rural parts of Virginia, you made what you had, and that's what you did. When you had meat, you cooked it, and you stretched it as far as you could, but it was a lot of vegetables. Like, in the wintertime, it was lots of soups and stews and things like that. Like, coming from, essentially, like, from where you came from down here, like, what have you learned so far? Like, what have you seen that's interesting? What more do you want to know?
Well, what's interesting is the connections, and I think a lot of the rural parts of Pennsylvania are very similar.
Yeah.
The Appalachian Mountains range does range into Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
But the idea is that, like you said, you're using what you have, and a lot of those were what... would be cheaper cuts or less desirable cuts of meat or even just the vegetables or, like, the corn. Corn is so readily available that you see, like, the corn fritters or the, you know.
Yeah,
and
it's why in the South they eat chitlins because, like, you've got to eat everything on the animal.
What's fascinating to me is how some of these foods have turned from what poor people eat, and quote unquote poor people, you know, and turned into like luxury foods.
Lobster. Or, yeah. Lobster's a perfect example.
Exactly.
Lobster was poor man food.
Ancient Egypt, they fed all crustaceans and seafood to the slaves.
Yeah.
Because they viewed it as anything from the sea was
garbage.
Was garbage.
Yeah. And like
they were all not anything from the sea, but anything bottom feeders.
Yeah.
It's part of the reason why
crustaceans are not kosher.
Ah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're sick of that.
Most of Jewish food law comes from safety concerns more than anything.
Oh my God. How many years were they? Pharaoh. Jeez.
If I have to eat another goddamn lobster.
You know what? You know what? It's not kosher. We're not eating it. Fuck it. No. You can't make us eat this anymore. Pharaoh, let my lobsters go.
And here on Endless Sands, we are unraveling history.
There you go. Yeah. You get a food lesson and you get a history lesson. You're welcome.
You're welcome.
Yeah, like you said, yeah, of those foods that were considered like, let the poor have that, have become delicacies. Like,
and it's hard for those, then it's kind of taking that away in some ways from people who that's their culture and that's what they eat. And it happens everywhere, really. But, you know, they can't access the food that was once, you know, the affordable food. So, you know, it changes throughout history.
Yeah. I would think in Pennsylvania, venison's readily available. So that's not an uncommon thing.
If you run in the right circles, yes.
If you run in the right circles. I think the way you said that, like almost like mafia style. You got to know people, and people can show you things. But
there's a deer trade up there in the PA.
If you live in the rural areas, it's probably readily available.
Okay, all right.
But if you know a hunter, it's so not things like ready that. To sell. You have to.
Yeah.
You can't sell venison unless it's been farmed. So.
Yeah, no, and that's something that like in this, well, because I grew up on it, because my dad's a hunter, and like I would go hunting with him. But, like, I've had things like that. I've had things like squirrel. Like, things that a lot of other people are just like, ew, you eat that? Like, yeah, you eat that. Like, it's there. And that's, I mean, he grew up in a family that was from Virginia. So, like, if you weren't rich, that's what you did. You ate whatever you could get your hands
and
on.
Deer are such a problem in Pennsylvania.
Oh, yeah. A nuisance animal, yeah.
Yeah, they need to be.
There's actually more deer now in the United States than there were when we first came over from England.
They don't have other predators. So.
Yeah. Yeah, we need to release some lions or something.
Or, you know, just make them a food source.
A lot of people are, you know, so against hunting, and they're not realizing the economic and
It always baffles me that somebody will sit there and be like, oh, God, I can't believe you killed Bambi as they're scarfing down a burger, you know? Like,
you know, there's unnecessary procreation of cows. Why not go for an animal that's abundant and actually destroying all the natural ecosystems? They peel the bark off all the trees, and then the squirrels don't have anything to eat. You know,
they're all around nuisance.
Yeah, I mean, they'll run into schools, elementary schools, like, honestly, gore children, steal their homework.
At my university, actually, one of the signs of there being weakness in the herd is there can occasionally be an albino deer. Which on my university farm campus, there was an albino deer that ran around.
Oh, an albino squirrel.
I think that's just a sign of, you know, the chosen one is to be born or something like that.
That's a white buffalo.
The white buffalo? I thought there was a white stag. Which one has a white stag? Was that?
I don't remember. Isn't that like a brand of vodka or something like that?
There was a story. I don't remember. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
It reminds me of the, in Harry Potter, the...
Patronus?
Yeah. Yes.
See, I always think of that and then I think of Patron, like the,
the tequila.
Thing. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Shout out to John St. John.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, we got to get him on, man.
All we need is tequila. It's fine. No problem.
It's like the bat signal for him.
It is.
Jenny, you know somebody up in Charlottesville that has a food podcast as well, right?
Yeah.
Who is that?
Her name is Janae Libby. And hi, Janae, if you're listening. I'm not sure if you know about this
yet.
She has a podcast called Edacious.
Edacious.
Yeah. Edible. She has a blog as well. Edible Seaville.
I'm sorry.
Charlottesville. It's all about Charlottesville.
I know, but like,
I know where your mind went.
I went somewhere else with that.
That's what happens on this show.
Oh God.
Hello.
So
I'm on board with this already.
She really enjoys telling people stories, so she gets people on her show that are local artisans and chefs and. Does like two hour long conversations with them, and
we might have to join forces. We might have to see extend the olive branch of Comics Online. You're out there sometimes. Maybe we'll send you in person.
That's true. And you know, as always, I'm down for the edible Seaville.
So, all right, well, might as well play it one more time.
And this is the first time you've listened to a Comics Online podcast. You're welcome.
You're welcome. I think we're good, man. We hit a lot of good stuff here. Give me, before we go, we'll end on this. Okay. So we've talked a lot about like, oh, you can't eat this crap food. You can't eat this crap food. What's your vice? Like, what's the one thing that, like, regardless of, you know that it's made of bullshit and you know that it's processed, but you don't give a shit. You'll eat it anyways.
Chicken McNuggets. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. Every time I eat chicken McNuggets, I'm always like, I could eat 100 of these.
I'm like, these are so terrible. I've seen the pink goo. I've heard of all the commercials and this and that.
As you're eating them, just hum, hum,
More sweet and sour, please.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh, and the sweet and sour sauce, too. Like, that is like liquid crack. Oh.
Dude, I will commend them on their sweet and sour sauce because, I mean, it has as much preservatives as any other sauce you get anywhere else that's pre-made.
Yeah.
So there's really, it's not that bad. But they make it with apricot. Like,
really?
That is unheard of, and it's amazing. That's what sets it apart. I've had many sweet and sours, but none of them except for McDonald's has ever been with apricot.
Well, let's just make our own.
We should.
We should make our own, you know, and then make some our own chicken nuggets.
Oh, we totally could.
That tempura breading you do?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what the McDonald's chicken nuggets, you know why they're so fucking delicious? Is pretty much, it's tempura. That's pretty much what that batter is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's.
I mean, you can't beat it.
Yeah, I mean, and to prove that point, if you've ever been to a Japanese restaurant and they do the tempura, sometimes they'll throw random things in there, too, like in the tempura. Like, I remember the first time I ever got tempura at a Japanese restaurant, and it was just, like, all of these vegetables. And then there was, like, this, it almost looked like wheat. It was, like, and they, like, dipped it in the batter and fried it. And I was like, is this decoration? Am I supposed to eat? Ha. And I'm like, just eating it anyways.
If it's tempura fried, you're supposed to eat it.
Yeah, exactly. Generally, what's your vice? What's the one that, like, you don't care how bad it is for you? It's just so delicious.
Wheats in general. I think candy is probably the worst one. We've been Kit Kats. Ice cream.
Oh,
Twix,
yeah.
Reese's. That's a problem.
For her birthday, I made her a Reese's ice cream cake, homemade.
Nice.
It was graham cracker crust, hot fudge.
Oh my god!
Broken up Reese's.
What?
A layer of farm fresh ice cream from the butcher shop. It's called a hint of chocolate, and it's like, it's amazing. Like you think.
I was skeptical about the hint of chocolate. I'm like, just all in or not, right? Chocolate's concerned, but.
Just go. Just do this, all right? Don't tease me. Just
but there's something about that gray area of the hint of chocolate that was just—it's incredible. So I put that.
Yeah.
Another layer of Reese's, hot fudge, a layer of vanilla ice cream, and then Reese's and hot fudge over the top with whipped cream.
Oh my god, Eric!
And it was like—I
mean, she's already your girlfriend, dude. You won her over. Like, it's, you got her, man.
Trying to make sure she stays
ice
around you.
Probably.
Oh yeah.
You know, but that's the thing—is ice cream about it?
Ice cream can be. Not healthy, but it can be not as bad for you. Yeah,
we'll probably play around with making my own. That's another one. That's probably a good cost.
See,
saving.
You guys didn't know that all of this was a ploy, just so we could have delicious food all the time. Like, this is why we got you on the show, Kevin. What's your vice, man? Like, what's the thing that you just cannot give up?
I'm drinking it right now. Diet Dr. Pepper. But as far as food goes, my grandmother. Had a recipe that it's you can see it on my Foodgasms Instagram, but it's she called it frozen salad, and I'm sure it came out of some magazine in the 50s. But it sounds awful.
Oh, is that thing the Jell-O thing?
There's no Jell-O involved in this. There are mini marshmallows. There are maraschino cherries. There are there's crushed pineapple, and then it's whipping cream, and cream cheese, as well as, and this is gonna gross people out.
Oh, here it comes.
Mayonnaise. There's just a tiny bit of mayonnaise in it, and it's weird to say this, but Trust me when I say it's actually delicious.
If you just think of it as whipped eggs and oil, it might not be as gross. I'm not sure.
No, God, please, no!
Michael Scott, just give it a chance. Come on.
No!
Give it a chance.
Come on, Michael
Come
Scott.
On.
No!
Just try it.
Yeah, that...
My sister was sick one Christmas.
It's probably good. I'd eat it. I'm just saying.
And barfed it. and so she won't eat it anymore because of that experience. But it's delicious, and I made it again this year, and it was amazing. And I still have some in my freezer. So if you come over, I still have some in my freezer.
I refuse to drink Captain Morgan because it tastes like vomit to me.
Ooh,
tastes like burning. Yeah, yeah. It takes. It's just
I
one time.
The purple berry.
Yeah, it's just once, and that'll kill it for you.
So are we going to give our listeners some challenge aside from telling us their picks of what we were talking about? Are we gonna give them a challenge for next week?
We are, but we've had more come in. More people have told us their favorite foods from 2017. This is exciting because people are listening.
Yay!
Okay, so my brother-in-law Steve, he has said that his favorite was just homemade barbecue grilled chicken, and homemade mac and cheese. He said they're even better as leftovers too.
Yeah.
Like there's something about those, and so I definitely got to agree with that. Our guest from last time, Albertine.
Nice.
Yes. Hi, Albie.
Yeah, she had said, and let me pull it up real quick because she said it on the Comics Online Facebook page for everything geek pop culture. There's Comics Online. She was talking about a pasta dish that she had, but she also had a black bean soup that she said. And the quote that she said, I gotta read it because it was fucking perfect.
You have to do it in the Swiss accent.
I can't do that. I can try. I can try. It'll just be horrible.
Just don't make it sound like Hillary Swank.
Damn, you saw right through it. That's what I was gonna go for. the black bean soup at Tideli. No clue what they do, but it was velvety food gasmic yumminess. Is that pretty good?
That was good.
Thank you.
I think Albertine would be proud.
Okay.
Yeah.
Had the pasta in a restaurant yesterday. First time they cooked it right, and the pasta flavor was perfect. No restaurant before this has managed to cook the pasta al dente. I was impressed.
You're welcome. And a quick shout out to Albertine and Cortland. They were our guests on the first episode.
Yeah. Yeah. And by the way, fuck you guys, because I want one of those. I want one of those sushi burritos that he was talking about.
Oh yeah,
with the
Did you listen to the first episode?
Well, yeah, like I listened to it again, and I was like, that motherfucker. Like,
yeah, I was listening to it.
He
night.
Inceptioned me because like I had it in my brain, and then I listened to it again, and then it like resurfaced, like the earworm that he put in there.
We need to find out where they have them.
The poke,
because I know they have them. The poke burritos.
It's a sushi burrito.
Yeah,
I'm sure you know what this is, and I don't know why I'm explaining to you this in this way.
It sounded good.
Yeah.
I need it in my life. You know, anything in a burrito like that would be delicious. I had a friend that I used to work with back in the olden days who left the company we worked at together, and he went and opened a place he called the Greek Burrito.
Yeah.
And it was basically gyros burritos all day long.
Yeah.
And they had...
That does sound pretty great, yeah.
Yeah.
Gyro.
I could
live on those.
Yeah.
And it was delicious. Yeah. It was amazing.
I want one right now.
In Pittsburgh, actually, there's a really big... Greek population, and
there's
a lot of Greek churches, about 30 of them at least, and they each have a Greek food festival. And a friend of mine and I made it our goal to go to every single one of them.
Show's over. We gotta go. We gotta like, right now to Greek fest. Yeah, like.
What season is this that this happens? Is this all year round?
It's usually in the summer. It's nicer weather. Pittsburgh is, you know, crabby weather.
Doesn't get
all year,
get too hot. Yeah.
Yeah, it's probably
the penguins like
June,
it. I hear
in May through. October maybe they
paging
about
Steve Monick, we're coming in summer for Greek Fest, buddy.
And
be
we
prepared.
Test it out every time. I call him a gyro because I'm just completely from Pittsburgh.
It's okay.
Oh, it's so funny around here where they're just like they just give up. They're just
I'm
like
not
fuck it,
try.
Gyro.
Oh, what about
a gyro?
And you know where I ordered it from? That Italian place downtown called Castiglia's.
God,
if it ain't. Yeah. I ain't supposed to say the G was there.
I hear if people if people evolve from monkeys, how come they're still monkeys? we have a listener joke, by the way, Kevin, in response to your salad.
Mm.
She said there's mayonnaise in it. She goes, mayonnaise is a lot of shit in that salad.
Who said that?
Sandy.
That was
for you.
Thanks, Sandy.
Yeah.
Good job, Sandy.
Yeah, she was waiting for that one, I think. Just like holding it like a grenade. And
yeah,
then
she was.
Rolled it into the room. Oh, man. So
just rolled it in the room and shut the door.
Exactly. She said that her vice that she can never give up is potato chips. Like, she just can't do it.
Any, like just regular potato chips?
Regular potato chips, like the Aldi brand.
Clancy's?
Honey, oh, the Clancy Mesquite barbecue ones? Like, what the hell? Like, you, oh, God, it's ridiculous. Me, like, I've tried very, very, very hard to give up fried foods. It is damn near impossible. Like, I know it would make a huge difference. It would probably help my waistline. But, like, I love fried chicken. Like, I can't. And, well, you can bake it. No, fuck you. No, you can't. Okay? It's not the same. It's not the same. I don't care what you say.
So, Mike, so you're saying that if I were to get a new deep fryer, then then I could actually have you over to my house? Because it's been a hard to get you. I mean, you helped me move in, there's that. But
you've only a goddamn hot tub.
You've only been over one other time to bring me a hot tub.
I'm a busy guy, man.
I know. But, I mean, if I've got fried foods... Maybe you'll come up.
You're the devil.
That's...
And then all of a sudden he's been like, you know, because, okay, I got to tell you a story real quick. So Ben Shaw and I.
Ben Shaw.
When this is like, I had just gotten out of the Army. So this is like 2003, 2004. And he's living with his folks. And we were up late one night. And we decided that we were going to go to Shoppers Food Warehouse because it was still open.
I love their donuts.
Oh, so do I. And we were like, you know what we want to do? We want to make our own fried Twinkies. But because we're fat assholes, we were like, let's get Twinkies and Ho-Hos and Funny Bones. Funny Bones are the ones with peanut butter on the inside.
I didn't know that was a thing.
We did all of them in pancake batter and deep fried them. And it was so fucking good. But we were so sick the next day because we must have eaten like 40 pounds worth of that shit. Like, it was so horrible. But like, and like you're sweating grease the next day. Like, you can just feel the like oil on your skin everywhere you go. Like,
just mud butt. Like,
not even like a tempura. You're like, no. Fuck it. Pancake.
No, we literally got like, you know, the Bisquick where you like pour the water in and you just shake it up. We did that shit because we were like, if we're going to do this, let's roll hard, okay? Let's not pussyfoot around this. Let's fucking go hard.
Like, the shake weight of...
the shake weight of fat guys just shaking up pancakes.
Okay, you know, clearly we need to recreate that on our Geek Pop Culture Network YouTube channel because there's got to be a fetish where it's, you know, you and Ben Shaw shake weighting it up.
Watching fat guys deep fry shit. Like.
Yeah. I'm into
this
now.
What are you going to fry this in? Pancake batter? And to make it a little bit nerdier, instead of the boing one, we'll just the lightsaber style this time.
And you guys can do like the pinky and the brain thing. They can be like, Ben, you'd be like, what are we going to fry tonight, Mike? And you're like, everything.
What do we have?
I think that's going to be us, though, is what it is. They'll be like, Eric, what are we doing today? Whatever the fuck we want. Something with pork. That's what we're doing. Smoking it, frying it, whatever. Don't matter. Ugh, wonderful stuff. Wonderful
I'm hungry
stuff.
Now, guys. I think we're going to have to just end this just because it's time to get something to eat.
Yeah.
I agree. Guys, this has been
Sandy, can your husband come out? I'm just saying. Sandy, come on.
I don't know if she's still listening. Maybe she is. There might be like some Bachelor thing on or something like that. She loves reality TV. Yes, I'm blowing her spot up. I don't care.
Yeah.
Or we have Hulu now, and she found out that like all the shows that we cut out when we cut out cable are on there. So, like, Dance Moms and shit like that. So she's probably watching that right now. Binge watching Dance Moms.
Dance Moms is on there?
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
Sandy, I think we have a new friend for you. I'll come home from work one night and generally, and Sandy will be sitting there and be like, Mike, one of the Dance Moms tweeted out something shitty about Abby Lee.
We can also go visit them in Pittsburgh while we're making our road trip.
Babe, you hear this? I don't even know if she's listening anymore. Either way. Hey, look at that. The Foo Fighters. What a great way to end the show. My favorite band. Guys, this has been Endless Sandwich. We'll go around the table and introduce or, I guess, say our goodbyes. How would you do that again?
Sure.
Again, everybody, big thanks to Jenna Lee Schenk, our newest contributor.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. You're always welcome. Can't wait to hear more things as you learn more about the culinary misadventures of Virginia. Of course, Eric Meyer, buddy, it was good having you back, man. It's been a while.
Yeah, man, it has been a while. It's good to get back to it.
Yeah. More shows to come about all of our delicious food adventures. Kevin Goswan?
Yes, sir. Please, listeners, listen to our other shows and check us out at comicsonline.com. It's Comics Online for everything geek pop culture. We're our Comics Online on all the social medias. And just give us a visit. And if there's anything that you would like to hear about, whether it's Endless Sandwich or any of our other geek pop culture shows, just give us a shout.
We've made it simple for you guys. We tried getting complex and adding shows all over the place. It was like busting open the atom. Like, shit just flew everywhere.
It did.
Got 1,000 different shows. We're streamlining it now. Comics Online Podcast is everything geek pop culture. For everything else that doesn't really fit in that mantra, that genre, we've got Pirate Radio. So Endless Sandwich is going to be there.
Several shows.
Time Lords is going to be there.
It's called Pirate Radio.
Pirate Radio. We've got Lesson 3, which is our relationship show. We've got what else do we talk about? Then we just got regular Pirate Radio, where it's like, well,
who's on Less Than Three?
Less Than Three right now. It's a rotating group of people.
It's whoever Mike gets that time.
Yeah, basically.
But eventually, soon, yeah. I will start. I will finally make my appearance, and
well, it would have to just be me and you, because then if we have three, then that's equal to three. It has to be less. You see what?
No, but seriously, once I finally come on, I'm gonna drop drop some bombs and.
Oh, that's right. Oh shit! It's 2017. We can talk about that stuff now, can't we?
We're getting close.
Oh, come on!
I kind of want to wait for one more event to pass, and then I can. Then I can be.
Oh, the second thing.
Yeah.
The thing with the first and the okay.
All and right, then once all that happens, then I'm gonna drop bombs about the evil one and.
Oh God, it's gonna be so great.
Oh yeah.
Oh man, I'm excited. Like, I don't even know what to do. Oh wait, that's right. I know what to do.
Yeah.
That's how excited I am.
So for next time, Mike, do we have any teasers for next time?
It's a really good question. I don't know. Like, what's coming up next?
Ooh.
Mike plays all the sound effects on the soundboard.
I think what comes up next is might be influenced by our listeners. So if you've got something that you would like to talk about, you would like us to talk about food-wise, let us know. Otherwise, we are going to announce it here, you know, before then. We'll try to do this, what, monthly, Mike?
I think that we'll have to do this at least once a month. I think as far as Endless Sandwich goes, we'll have more of this sort of stuff. I would really love to do like almost like regional based episodes. So like, hey, this we're going to talk about the food of this particular area. Have you ever been there? You haven't been there? Cool. Here's some things that you can eat. Here's some things that you can
I'm
make.
Into it.
Yeah, and here's some things that you can make yourself without having to put a bunch of bullshit into it.
I'm on board with this plan.
Yeah. What we got next coming though, as far as the Comics Online stuff goes, we've got a shitload of interviews that we got
to
do.
We have a ton of stuff and a ton of people who want to talk to us, and you know, we are just now getting them scheduled. So stay tuned. And the easiest place to find all of this is just subscribe on Facebook and Twitter.
Yeah, we're at Comics Online on Facebook. We're at Comics Online on Twitter.
Yep.
But I think you should do the exit because this is your baby.
So, for Jenna Lee and Eric and Mike, and for everything geek pop culture, I'm Kevin Goswan, and this is The Endless Sandwich on Comics Online. Bitches. Don't you worry what they tell themselves.
You're away. Bye. Peace out.
Eat up.
We go.
This has been a Comics Online Pirate Radio Network production, Juice Bags. Yeah, boy.
From leaking tall buildings to going off like gamma bombs, switch your internet browser to comicsonline.com.